Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to this episode of Fake TV Critic, a podcast where I discuss the week's biggest TV news headlines, recap and analyze some of my favorite shows, and let you know what you should be watching. Happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, all that good shit. It is the holidays. This is my last episode of the year, and it's a time of joy and peace and celebration and love. And the biggest TV news story of the week is how terribly a streaming service is treating its customers. So I've mentioned this in the past, but it bears repeating. HBO Max is a fucking joke now. And they are actively terrible. They are... The whole... Okay, I mean, I have so many thoughts and feelings, and I'm just so annoyed by this whole situation. HBO Max is a streaming service, obviously, and how does a streaming service get and keep its subscribers? With content, you need to offer things that you can only get on that platform that you cannot find elsewhere. You need to have original content, and it needs to be good original content, right? Like, it needs to, there needs to be a lot of it, because you need to have your subscribers continue to pay that monthly fee or to pay up front for a full year and feel like they're getting their money's worth. Otherwise, they're going to cancel the next year. And you do that by, like, having a library, right? Like, this is why, for me personally, I have Apple TV for free this year because of, like, T-Mobile, I think. And I would never subscribe to this service and pay my own money. Even though it is the last service left that has only, the only option is no commercials. There's not a single ad-supported program on Apple TV Plus. All of it is ad-free. That's great. It's cheap, but there's no library. It's only Apple Originals. And for me personally, the Apple Originals are just not all that interesting. But with something like HBO Max, you need to have a library. You need to have content that is both new, that is familiar, that people are going to want to watch over and over. And that mostly for HBO Max means that they are hoping people are going to be watching reruns of Friends constantly. Because the new content, the original content that HBO Max has, they continue to remove, and they're cutting back on what that content is going, how much and what content is being produced in the future. So just this week, after last week's shit show, HBO Max canceled and is planning to pull off of its service Love Life, which has been in my watch list for a while, which season one starred Anna Kendrick, and season two starred William Jackson Harper from The Good Life. And a really interesting concept, it's an anthology comedy series where, like, each episode follows a period in a person's love life, like a date or a relationship, and, you know, then they move on to a new one in the next episode. Cool concept. I watched the first episode when it first premiered, and that was before HBO Max was available on Roku or Fire Stick, so I couldn't watch it on a TV, and I didn't want to watch it on my laptop, so I just never went back to it, but it's been in my watch list for years. Well, I'm going to have to watch it soon, because HBO Max not only canceled it this week, they are pulling it off of its service, along with, what else, Raised by Wolves, which was canceled earlier this year and is being pulled, F-Boy Island, Finding Magic Mike, which was a reality series about casting the Vegas Magic Mike show. All of them have been canceled, and they're now going to be unavailable. The Gordita Chronicles, which was a kid show. And now HBO Max earlier this year renewed Minx for season two. And they are in their final week of filming season two. And HBO Max reversed its decision and canceled it. So they're going to complete filming and try to shop it elsewhere. But season one is being removed as well. So this makes... I guess from, like, a money perspective, this must make sense to David Zaslav, who is in charge of HBO Max, or Warner Brothers, whoever the fuck is, like, the CEO of the company that owns HBO Max. It must make sense to them to, like, cut costs by removing this content, but it is fostering such a distrust with the people who are aware of what's going on, that I can't see this being a smart business move from like a customer satisfaction perspective, because you are not going to have loyal customers when you can't guarantee them that the content they want is going to be there. Do you know what I mean? So like there's plans for next year to merge Discovery Plus with HBO Max and to make one streaming service, which like no one who has HBO Max wants Discovery Plus shit on their platform. Like they are two very different platforms, and it's why they are two different platforms. Like the people who want to subscribe to HBO Max to watch, even if it's to watch like Friends or The Big Bang Theory, and then some HBO content, like they're not the same people who want to watch fucking Chip and Joanna Gaines and like the ID Network. It's not the same person. So combining these two services while they're under the same corporate umbrella does not make sense from a customer standpoint. Because I feel like the Venn diagram is so small. Discovery Plus has existed for how many years? I've never had the urge to subscribe to it. I used a friend's account for 1 month when Trixie Motel was airing over the summer. And I didn't even need to do that because now it's on HBO Max. But that's it. That's all I watch. Trixie Motel, one show. I don't watch HGTV. I barely watch Food Network. Like, I do not need this content on HBO Max. But that is what they are moving towards. So they're cutting costs by like getting rid of and having to pay residuals and stuff on this content that I guess is not that popular or that's scripted. So there's a lot more people to pay out. I don't know how it works. But all of these shows are being ripped off of the streaming service and are going to be put somewhere else or just disappear from existence. And that's really fucking frustrating. And like, it's annoyed me that HBO Max has been doing this because, like, even if it's stuff I'm not going to watch, at least knowing it's there, I feel like I'm getting my money's worth because it exists. You know what I mean? Like, even if it's something that, like, I have my watch list for in the rest of eternity and never actually get to, knowing that I have the option is sometimes enough. But then, like, what the fuck is this platform going to be moving forward? Because everything that I was interested in on this platform is either being pulled off, has been canceled, or is just no longer happening. Like, we had all of these big plans for DC comic book shows. Like, we're supposed to get a Green Lantern series. That's not happening anymore. We're supposed to get the Batgirl movie. That's not happening anymore. A Supergirl movie. That's not happening anymore. All of these shows that were in development at HBO Max, the Amy Schumer pandemic series based on her Food Network show where Amy learns to cook, was supposed to be an Amy learns to dot, 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 and she was going to learn these different things. That was announced 2.5 years ago and has gone nowhere. I'm assuming that's not happening anymore. So all of these things that you were supposed to be getting are just not happening. What the fuck are we paying for? And then on top of that, I'm watching The Middle yesterday, their Christmas episodes, and there's ads in them that then fuck up my Roku and I have to restart them, and it's a nightmare. And the ads on HBO Max come in really annoying places, and they have like bumpers on them like it's the 90s, and then you'll see the same ad like 3 or 4 times. They're annoying and they're stupid. And I'm so fucking annoyed with HBO Max. They're so annoying. And they continue to suck. They continue to pull programming. They continue to cancel things. And then I don't understand. Now they're also starting to pull HBO content. Like as of the end of the year, Westworld is not going to be available on HBO Max. The whole fucking point of HBO Max for a lot of people, me included, is that I'm getting HBO content. Like before it's called Max, it's called HBO. The HBO comes before the Max. Why are you now pulling HBO content? I do not understand. I'm annoyed. So, more developments in the HBO Max sucks chronicles. That's story number one. And number two, Cecily Strong's last episode of Saturday Night Live aired this weekend. very abrupt, but they announced her exit like hours before the episode aired on Instagram with like a "We will miss you" post. And I don't watch SNL very much anymore because I think this season is absolute garbage. But Cecily Strong was one of the very few people left on the show who were worth watching. You know, there's been talk this year that it may be SNL's last season because Lorne Michaels wants to retire. And once Lorne Michaels retires, is there an SNL without him? And honest to God, at this point, like, it's been limping along for quite a long time, decades, some may argue. And it's been so uneven for so long. There's just, would we be missing much if SNL went away? I don't know. You know, at this point, I feel like people watch it for Bo and Yang. And that might be about it. You know, you watch it for the cast. So like when this season, when we got no more Kate McKinnon, no more Beck Bennett, we're left with just like no more Pete Davidson. You know, all we're left with is Weekend Update, which I hate Michael Che. Why? He, no. And even that's not that funny anymore. So we're left with like Colin Jost, Michael Che, Heidi Gardner, and Bowen Yang. And that's about the highlights now that Cecily Strong is gone. So like, really, what are we doing here? What are we doing here? Like, NBC, just give Bowen his own show. Oh, and Keenan. Duh, how could I forget Keenan? Like, do development deals with Keenan, with Bowen Yang, if you want to keep them in your stable, and just like let SNL go, even if it's just for a season until you can like regroup, find some names. Because honestly, a lot of these people who left because they wanted to do other things, like Kate McKinnon, like Beck Bennett, like who else left recently? I mean, there's obviously a whole lot more than that that Pete Davidson, like Pete Davidson has a Peacock show coming out next year. Maybe that'll be big, maybe it won't. But like, get these people who left because they wanted more money or whatever and who aren't doing anything. See if you can get them back. See if we can foster some new talent. See if we can get some like up and coming people who are like famous maybe on the internet, like a Mateo Lane or a Matt Rogers or that woman whose name I forget who had the beer bottle thrown at her head and then went on Jimmy Kimmel because she picked it up and drank it. Like, get someone like that who's you know, TikTok famous or viral famous and see if you can make a new version of this after a year off. But like, the SNL is bad. Okay, renewal and cancellations. Yellow Jackets was renewed for a third season, even though season two doesn't premiere until March. NBC renewed Quantum Leap for season two, Sort Of, which is a co-production of CBC and HBO Max, got renewed for season three, and HBO Max renewed The Sex Lives of College Girls for season three. And like, again, when we're talking about HBO Max, what the fuck are these decisions? Like, I've never watched an episode of Sort Of. Again, been on my watch list forever. And The Sex Lives of College Girls, I guess that's popular, but what is that? I don't know. Where are these decisions coming from? And then canceled, other than the ones I already mentioned on HBO Max, are Blockbuster, which had some big buzz on Netflix and apparently was terrible. Starring Randall Park, canceled after one season. And Shantaram on Apple TV Plus was canceled after one season as well. Okay, so the holiday season, I did this last year of like a recap of what some of my favorite holiday shit is, where to find it. And since I covered a lot of it last year, I'm not going to go too much into what my favorites are. But maybe talk about some new stuff that, you know, because every year the market is flooded with new Christmas and holiday content. You know, I've been mentioning every week my Countdown to Christmas recommendation on Hallmark. Every year, Hallmark releases like 40 new movies. And because they're so popular, every other streaming platform and network has tried to cash in on this. Amazon Prime has some Christmas romance movies like this. So does Freevee, their free platform. CBS has aired a couple. ABC, Hulu, Paramount Plus, HBO Max, like all of Peacock, all of these networks are trying to get into this boom of made-for-TV Christmas movies. So it gets harder and harder every year to like find the content that kind of stands out, that's actually good. And it also gets harder and harder to find where these classics that we actually want to keep watching year on year end up. So of all the new stuff that has been coming out, I'm going to talk about a few that have stood out to me. So even though I just spent 10 minutes ripping HBO Max a new asshole, they do have a new Christmas movie that came out last year that is very good, that I finally watched this year and that I very highly recommend. And it's called 8-Bit Christmas. And it's kind of like a Christmas story, but set in the 80s. And it's about a group of, what year are they? I'm going to say they're all 11. So like preteens, a group of preteens who are living in Chicago, the suburbs of Chicago in the 80s. And all they want for Christmas is a Nintendo Entertainment System. And it basically tells the story of how all these kids, with one in particular, our leading kid, Jake, who are trying to get this Nintendo and the lengths they go to acquire the Nintendo. And then also, you know, it's very much about nostalgia. And, you know, it's a slapstick, big physical comedy movie, but it's also like wink, wink, nudge, nudge, how crazy. And, you know, we're nostalgic for the 80s, but also like they weren't that great. No, there was no safety measures. Like kids did whatever they wanted and parents didn't really care until they cared too much. And then they cared about the wrong things. You know, like we need to ban video games because they're turning our kids into mindless zombies, but then they're letting them ride their bikes without helmets in the snow. And, you know, just no one knew where their kids ever were, but we want to make sure that you're not rotting your brains at video games. It's funny. And so basically we follow Jake and his quest for this Nintendo gaming system. And it has this framing device of Neil Patrick Harris playing adult Jake, who takes his daughter back to his mother's house for Christmas. And the daughter wants a cell phone to text her friends because, you know, she has to use her dad's cell phone to text her friends. And she's like, I get more calls on my phone than you do, which is also very funny. And there's a slapstick moment throughout the movie about like Jake falling on ice, which we see as an adult. And then we see him constantly do as a kid, which is also very funny and stupid. But he goes back to his childhood home and tells his daughter the story of how he wanted this Nintendo in the year 1988 and how him and his friends went about getting it. And then June Diane Raphael plays his mother. Steve Zahn plays his dad. It's a really sweet movie. Again, like I said, it is laugh out loud funny. It is ridiculous. And especially for kids of the 80s, like especially Gen Xers, this is your Christmas movie. So pay attention, Gen Xers. I know you're listening to this at 1.0 speed with your auxiliary plug in your car on the way to your job this week, or on the way to buying Christmas gifts for your kids because you waited until the last minute because you don't fully trust online shopping, so you're still going to stores. Listen up, Gen X. I kid. I love you. I love you, Elena. And Michelle, if you're listening. So, okay. This is your movie, though, because it is very much about... it's very nostalgic for that time period where we went to malls. They were always crowded. It was that love-hate relationship of the mall was the center of our universe, but then that also meant that it was a center of our universe where, like, consumerism was both the bane of our existences and what we all lived for. And I loved it. I really loved it. The kids were all so good. There was the most absurd, ridiculous moments of over-the-top comedy that, again, is very reminiscent of a more modern A Christmas Story, but also very heartwarming. And I cried at the end, which I did not expect. And it comes back to like this notion where like older millennials like myself and Gen Xers love to like put on social media and talk about like the younger generations about how like when I was your age, we played outside until the lights came on. We didn't have alarm clocks. Our alarm clock was the street lights. And it plays very much into like that feeling. And like that again, like I said, parents didn't know where kids were. You just did whatever you wanted. And this is like the most extreme version of that, where like they these kids all pool their money together to kind of to try to buy a Nintendo system and like sneak off from a school trip and sneak into a toy store, and like it's just it's insane and it's really fun and like I said very heartwarming. That is streaming on HBO Max, and like again I feel like we get a slew of content every year and not all of it is trying to be part of our traditions. Like nothing on Hallmark is meant to stand out. I mean, maybe this year a little bit, but there's a reason they produce 40 movies and not like four really good ones. Like they do produce, you know, between like maybe four and eight, let's say, really good ones. And if those were the only ones they made all year, it would be worth it. But they make 40 because it's quantity over quality usually with these streaming networks and networks like Hallmark, is that they're trying to be a fleeting part of your holiday season. They're not aiming to be something that you return to year after year. Like that's why all the titles sound the same, right? Like it's all they're Christmas puns or they all have the word Christmas in them. They don't want you or they don't need you to come back to this one movie over and over. They're going to replace the movies every year. Like some of my favorite Hallmark movies of yesteryear and even Lifetime movies of yesteryear are impossible to find now. They don't air anymore. They're not on the streaming services. They're just like lost to the ether unless you buy them on DVD if you can find them. Like A Cookie Cutter Christmas is one of my favorite Hallmark Christmas movies. It doesn't air anymore because I think the original airing was like 2014, maybe something like that. 100 movies like it have aired since then, so they're not airing that one anymore. 100 movies with those stars have aired since then, so they're not airing that one anymore. These movies are not meant to stand the test of time. They're meant to be background noise. They're meant to be put on while you're baking, while you're wrapping, while you're decorating, while you are making lists, while you are, you know, getting drunk. I don't know. It's meant to be like how we used to just leave the radio on in the 90s to like the Christmas station. Like in the Philly area, it's B101, which still airs Christmas music 24 hours a day, starting like the week before Thanksgiving. And I still listen to sometimes in the car. Like we used to leave that on all year while we were doing everything else, eating dinner, whatever. Hallmark has kind of replaced that. We're like, we leave the TV on that channel kind of throughout the season. That's what it's aiming for. They're not aiming for groundbreaking. They're not aiming for memorable even. They're just aiming to be good enough that you leave it on. So it gets harder and harder to find the things every year that are kind of breaking through that noise. And it used to be a lot easier. Like, you know, there used to be a big Christmas movie released almost every year, whether it ended up in the cultural zeitgeist and our collective nostalgic memory or not. We used to get them every year. You know, we had Fred Claus, Deck the Halls, Last Christmas, This Christmas, Last Holiday, what else? Four Christmases. Like these, every year there was a big tentpole Christmas movie, at least one every year, that would attempt to become part of our annual traditions of, we need to go to the theater to see it, and then we're going to love it, so we're going to seek it out every year. Now, like I said, not all of them worked. Last Christmas, you can't find anywhere this year. It's airing on FX. It's not even on Hulu unless you have a premium subscription. What are some of the... Deck the Halls. Like, that movie sucked. I love it. I talked about it on the podcast last year. But it's on, like, Stars this year, I think. You know, there are these movies that with like maybe big stars, maybe released by big studios, Disney sometimes. Like Disney released the, what the hell is it called? The technology that they use the Polar Express for. Like, I don't know if it's like stop motion or motion capture. There it is. With a Jim Carrey version of A Christmas Carol. That was wretched. You can watch it. It's on Disney Plus, but it's terrible. But we're not really getting those kinds of movies anymore. Like, if you look around what's playing in theaters this year, the only wide-release Christmas movie was Violent Night, about a killer Santa Claus, which, as much as some people may enjoy that, is not the kind of thing we're talking about here, right? So, like, an 8-bit Christmas on HBO Max is maybe that kind of movie that we used to get in theaters, that used to be like a tentpole platform Christmas release. But we're not getting very many of them anymore, and those are become the ones from years past are becoming harder to find. And it's becoming, I don't know, like, I feel like a lot of the newer ones, maybe in the past like 25, 30 years, are not having the same nostalgic or, I don't know, repeat viewing, like, they're not becoming part of our tradition in the way that they were in, like, the 90s and maybe even in the early 2000s. Like, for my money, I think Elf was maybe the last time that happened. And Elf was, I think, 2003. I remember I saw it in high school in theater. So I think it was, like, maybe 2003. But since then, it's been harder for these movies to break through the noise and to really settle themselves into being part of our annual Christmas tradition in the way that Home Alone, Home Alone 2, even Christmas with the Cranks, what else? It's a Wonderful Life, A Christmas Story, The Grinch, even the Jim Carrey The Grinch, what else? I'm trying to think off the top of my head and it's not really working much in my favor. A Muppet Christmas Carol. You get the idea. Jingle All the Way. These movies that, like, in years prior, we would get maybe like one a year that would kind of like worm its way into not Christmas Vacation, right? These like big movies that the Polar Express, now that of course I'm trying to move on, they're all coming to me, that are trying to become part of our annual cycle of things that we rewatch. And I'm kind of glad in a way that not a lot are breaking through because, you know, we're busy at the holidays. It's harder to find some of these things. It's hard to like squeeze in the time to watch all this stuff. But along those lines, the ones that for me are still, you know, except beyond like the Home Alones, the Jingle All the Ways, all those things, the ones that we still for decades have been returning to are these like classic shorter Christmas specials like Rudolph and the Rankin-Bass Christmas specials, like the original The Grinch, Charlie Brown Christmas. We don't really get a lot of those like short specials anymore. CBS had one this year, Reindeer Over Here, or Reindeer Was Here, or Reindeer In Here, something like that. That was like, they're very cartoony and meant for kids and like really over the top, annoying animation style. We're not really getting like these sweet, short, heartfelt little Christmas nuggets anymore, except we did get one this year. And it was weirdly the Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special on Disney Plus, which is in the Marvel Cinematic Universe and stars the Guardians of the Galaxy. And like, it's very slight. There's not really much of a story. There's no message. You don't have to watch it to like understand the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but it's like really cute and really fun and really sweet. And it goes by really quick. And if you are a fan of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, obviously you need to watch it. If you're a fan of the Guardians, you need to watch it. And if you're a fan of Kevin Bacon, you should watch it, because that's the whole story, is that Drax and Mantis return to Earth to get a Christmas present for Star-Lord, Peter Quill, Chris Pratt, and they decide to get him Kevin Bacon because Peter loves Footloose and he loves Kevin Bacon and Friday the 13th and all the 80s movies that Peter would have seen before he was in space. So they go and they kidnap Kevin Bacon at Christmas and they bring him back to their outpost and present him to Peter. And then Kevin Bacon like becomes a good sport and sticks around and he loves the idol worship that Peter has for him. But it also like, it's about family. We get one kind of big reveal that we, the audience, know, but that the characters don't know until this special, which is that Mantis and Peter share a father, which we found out in, I think it was either the last Avengers or the last Guardians movie, I forget. But now Peter knows. So that's a nice, sweet Christmas moment where he's like, the greatest gift you could get me is family. And now I know that I have family. So that's sweet. And I highly recommend it. It's like 40 minutes. It goes by really quick. And I want more of these like Christmas specials. We don't need more of these movies. We just don't. Like, I know that the Hallmark train is chugging along, and I love it. I watch all of them every year. There's two left that I have to watch this year. One hasn't even aired yet. But We don't need more of that style. Like, I don't need Amazon and Netflix to make Hallmark style movies or CBS to make Hallmark style movies. I want you to make these like short 30 minute. So, you know, without commercials, 20 to 25 minutes and or hour long without commercials, 40 to 45 minute specials. That's what I am into. That's what I would like more of. And the other new thing that I watched this year that I really enjoyed, again, a special, it's about 50 minutes, is airing on Showtime. It's a comedy special by Matt Rogers, who hosts the Las Culturistas podcast. He also was in Fire Island this summer with Joel Kim Booster and Bowen Yang. He is hysterical. You may recognize him if you see his face or hear his voice. He's been on a lot of shit. He hosted Hot Dog on HBO Max. What else has he done? He used to co-host the Drag Her podcast years ago with Nicole Byer and Joel Kim Booster. He's been on Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen a few times. He's kind of like, he's gay famous, he's gayness, but he's starting to break through a little bit into the straight world. And part of that is Have You Heard of Christmas, his new Christmas special, which is a musical. How do I even explain this? It's a concert. It was filmed at Joe's Pub, but then it's interspersed with these like skits of Matt Rogers playing an exaggerated version of himself, trying to be crowned the Prince of Christmas by Mariah Carey with his new Christmas special where he's like singing these original Christmas songs. And they are absurd. They are hysterical. And they're both of those things because he delivers them so earnestly, as if he is Mariah Carey, as if he does think that he has written a whole show of the next All I Want for Christmas Is You's. And there are a few of them where I'm not going to lie, if he had recorded and released some of these like to radio professionally, they would take off, including the title song, Have You Heard of Christmas, where it's like, the lead up is everyone's so miserable at Christmas time and they need to be happy. So I want you to go up to strangers and shake them and say, have you heard of Christmas? Do you know what time of year it is? And then he sings this song where like, even he doesn't know what Christmas is. And that's the whole punchline. It's like, you're supposed to be happy at Christmas, but no one knows what Christmas even is anymore because Christmas is so commercialized. And he's like, have you heard of Christmas? It's when Moses did the lake. Have you heard of Christmas? It's the day they made Saint Nick a saint. And it's just, it's very funny because he thinks he's a pop diva. And like, while Matt Rogers is a very talented singer, he is not. But the music is all very catchy, very funny. There's a, quote, cut song from the Jim Carrey, The Grinch, written by Mariah Carey, who wrote Where Are You, Christmas, sung by Faith Hill, about how, from the perspective of Martha May Huvier, played by Christine Baranski, who, like, the whole premise is, I'm going to fuck the Grinch. Very funny. There's a song from the perspective of God, and the lyrics are just, I am God and I am real. I am real. I am real. Like, it's just, it's so ridiculous. I love it. It's streaming on Showtime. Of everything that I've watched, that's the one that I highly recommend the most. I've watched it twice already. Okay. Now that I've rambled probably incoherently for what, 20 minutes or so, let's go back to these things that we like to watch every year and where you can find them. So if you are not an analog person, if you do not have these things on DVD, here's where you can find some of these classic things that we like to make part of our yearly traditions. Okay, Peacock, not only, like I said, has the live Hallmark channels and the recent Hallmark movies, quite a few of them, and some classic Hallmark Christmas movies as well. It also has the original 1960s The Grinch, the Boris Karloff The Grinch, Love Actually, and one of my personal favorites, which I watch every year, Just Friends, with Ryan Reynolds and Amy Smart, right? And Chris Klein. Fucking love that movie. They also have Krampus, which is a newer horror Christmas movie, which I love as well. And then they have these hubs where if you go to their season streamings category, they have divided by series the Christmas episodes of some of the TV shows they have. So like Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Superstore, The Middle, SNL, Modern Family. If you click on those, you can watch all the Christmas episodes of those shows. And I just yesterday watched all the Christmas episodes of The Middle. This is a new tradition for me. I miss The Middle so much. If you didn't watch it, all the episodes are on both Peacock and HBO Max, and I highly, highly recommend watching it. It was so underappreciated when it was on ABC. It ended almost 5 years ago at this point. Wow. It starred Patricia Heaton and Neil Flynn, and it's The Middle in all senses of the word. They're in the Midwest. They're middle class. They're about three kids, and the one that we like fall in love with the most is Sue, who's the middle child. They're middle class. It's wonderful. I loved it so much. It's so funny and so accurate and so relatable, and their Christmas episodes are the best. So good. Rivaled only by American Dad for having the best Christmas episodes. Which also I think you can find all of those on Hulu and Hub, just FYI. I love The Middle. That's one of the ones you can watch in these like hubs for Christmas episodes. And like if you love the SNL Christmas episodes, you can watch all of those there as well. Highly recommend checking out Peacock's season streamings portal. Hulu has Santa Claus the Movie with Dudley Moore from the 80s, which I've never seen all the way through. I can't get into it, but again, I know a lot of my Gen X and boomer friends, or you know, like my dad loved this movie. You know, if that's part of your childhood, go for it. It's on Hulu. So is Happy a Season, which came out, I think, 2 years ago with it's the lesbian Hulu movie, which I watched once and that was enough for me. But I know I have lots of friends who return to it year after year. I don't like that it ends up with the couple staying together because Aubrey Plaza plays the better option. But that's just me. And they also have the Jinx and Dela holiday special, which if you have not watched yet, you must go watch. They are so good, so funny. It, like I was saying, I want some of these more like variety Christmas specials from yesteryear. It's that, but it also is a mockery of that because they're so easy to make fun of. A parody rather than a mockery, not a mockery, a parody. It's so funny. The music is so good. Considering they made, wrote, directed, funded all this on their own, just these two drag queens early in the pandemic, and then sold it to Hulu, is a feat. Congratulations to them. It looks wonderful. It is great. And this is the last year that Hulu is going to have it. So if you haven't watched it, you have to watch it this year. Go stream it. The Jinx and Dela holiday special is also on Hulu. HBO Max has Elf, A Christmas Story, plus all the sequels. I talked about A Christmas Story Christmas earlier this year. You can go check that out on HBO Max, as well as A Christmas Story 2, which, why does that exist? Four Christmases, Fred Claus, I mentioned both of those. The Jim Carrey, The Grinch, directed by Ron Howard. I watched that again this year after not watching it for a couple years. I think it's great. You know, for some reason people hate it. I don't know why, but that's there. A Very Harold and Kumar Christmas is up there. I watched that again this year after not having seen it. I think since I saw it in theaters when it first came out. It is insane and stupid, and I don't know that I would watch it again, but fun. Polar Express. What else is up there? 8-Bit Christmas, I mentioned. And then they also have Christmas Vacation is there as well. And they also have a TCM, Turner Classic Movies. They have some like older Christmas classics, including Christmas in Connecticut, which of all these like older holiday Christmas movies, like from like the golden age of film, is one of my favorites. A lot, like, you know, White Christmas, I think, is kind of the peak, which I don't even know where that's streaming this year. I think it's just on AMC Plus. And Holiday Inn, which again, I don't know where that's streaming, but I love that. I watch it on DVD every year. So other than those two, Christmas in Connecticut is one of my favorites. There's also It Happened on Fifth Avenue and the 1938 A Christmas Carol. Both of those are on HBO Max as well. Disney Plus has the Santa Claus franchise, the Home Alone franchise, including the first two, A Muppet Christmas Carol, like I mentioned earlier, the Jim Carrey Christmas Carol, which if you've never seen is kind of worth watching for how bizarre and like unsettling in a lot of ways it is. And they have the 1994 Miracle on 34th Street, which the original Miracle on 34th Street, I think, is now public domain because it's on Prime and Peacock and I think on YouTube. And you can watch that, the 1994 one, which is the one that I grew up with Mara Wilson from Matilda. That's on Disney+. Amazon has the 1984 A Christmas Carol, which I think by a lot of people is generally considered the best A Christmas Carol. It's a Wonderful Life, Scrooged, Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas. For those of you who have that Jim Henson nostalgia, that's on Amazon Prime. And so is one of my favorites from childhood, A Flintstones Christmas Carol. I loved that one. Apple TV, A Charlie Brown Christmas is there. And so is Spirited, which I watched this year. This is new. It's the Will Ferrell, Ryan Reynolds Christmas Carol retelling. I didn't really talk about it as something that, you know, I had watched that as like a breakthrough to the Christmas noise because I did not like it. Your mileage may vary. I thought it was way too long. I found it really annoying. I did not like a lot of the new music, even though it's Pasek and Paul who have an Oscar and a Tony. They wrote Dear Evan Hansen and The Greatest Showman. I did not enjoy it. I thought it was boring. I did not think it twisted A Christmas Carol in an interesting way. It's from the perspective of the ghost of Christmas Present, played by Will Ferrell, who goes and tries to Scrooge Ryan Reynolds' character, who is unscroogeable, or what's the word they use for? Unredeemable, even though it's not a word. Yeah, unredeemable, even though it's not a word. Then it gets flipped onto the Will Ferrell character, The Christmas Present. I didn't love it, but apparently there's a market. They just released a sing-along version in select theaters this week. So, like, if you have Apple TV, by all means, check it out. Your mileage may vary. I hated it, but there you go. And then, like, these random movies that I love. Jingle All the Way is on Stars this year. So is Deck the Halls. And Christmas with the Cranks is only on AMC Plus, which is a shame. So unless you catch it airing on TV, you can only watch on AMC Plus, which, like, I'm not paying for that shit. And then because it's Hanukkah, there's not a lot of Hanukkah content, which is very surprising and annoying. But Adam Sandler's 8 Crazy Nights is on Showtime, and you can also watch it for free with ads on YouTube. And there's a movie that you can find on Disney Plus. It was a Disney Channel movie from when I was, I think, in middle school. I remember I watched it when I was young, either like middle school or freshman year of high school. And it's called Full Court Miracle, and it's very weird. It's a sports movie, but it's set at Hanukkah, which that's weird, right? Like, that's the weirdness. Not that the story itself is weird, but that it's like a basketball movie set at Hanukkah. That's what's weird about it. And it's about a kid at a Hebrew school in Philadelphia who wants to turn his basketball team's luck around. So they hire a homeless basketball player who was like big in college and never made it to the pros because of an injury. And he like is homeless in Philadelphia because he was hoping to get signed by the 76ers and never did. But they like hire him to be their coach. And of course, you know, it's like in time for Hanukkah, or like it's at Hanukkah, there's a Hanukkah Christmas tournament or a Hanukkah basketball tournament, something like that. I forget the details. It's like it's set at Hanukkah, Hebrew school, basketball. Very strange combination. But I remember when I was a kid watching it on the Disney Channel, it was like kind of a big deal when it came out because it was the kid from Max Keeble's Big Move and Home Alone 3, I think it was the lead. He's retired now, Alex D. Linz. He's the lead in it. And that's on Disney Plus. So like if you are looking for Hanukkah stuff, feel free. Hallmark also has aired yesterday as of when this podcast comes out, but will continue airing, and you can find on Peacock Hanukkah on Rye, which is their Hanukkah movie this year starring Jeremy Jordan and Lisa Loeb about rival deli owners who get set up by a matchmaker. You might be able to find also airing on Hallmark and or on Peacock Double Holiday, which was one of my favorites from a couple of years ago, starring Christopher Palaha, which is about celebrating both Hanukkah and Christmas at the same time. They had one, The 8 Lights of Hanukkah, I want to say it's called, about a woman who finds out that she is Jewish through an ancestry test and then goes to find her Jewish family and kind of learns the ins and outs of Hanukkah. That one was fun. I think that might have been from 2 years ago, maybe last year. But not a lot of Hanukkah content out there if you are looking for that, but there are some options for you. And then of course the Rugrats Hanukkah special is like the epitome of Hanukkah movies and television, and that you can find on Paramount Plus and airing this week on Nickelodeon. Okay, my countdown to Christmas Hallmark recommendation this week is The Holiday Sitter. And this was the Jonathan Bennett movie this year. It is my favorite movie of the year. It has overtaken A Cozy Christmas Inn. It is, okay. It's a very classic Hallmark movie about, you know, a bachelor having to babysit kids because mom can't be there. It's a very easy Hallmark movie. Big city guy returns home to the suburbs, falls in love. Only in this case, it's a queer couple. It's a gay couple at the center. It's Jonathan Bennett and it's George Crissa, both of whom are gay in real life, playing gay characters. It's directed by Ali Liebert, who is a queer woman. And that's all great. It's a slapstick, laugh out loud movie, which I was not expecting. It takes these old school Hallmark tropes and these very comfortable plots. And the inversion is simply that there's a queer couple in the middle of it. And that kind of it changes the story in a lot of ways while also being very familiar. Because when it comes to, it's okay, so Jonathan Bennett plays a guy who is planning a vacation to Hawaii but has to go home because his sister and her husband are adopting a baby who is being born in Buffalo. They need to go get the baby, but they can't leave their two kids home alone. And there's no one else that can watch them, so she has to call on the brother, who is like very irresponsible, a bachelor, doesn't want kids. Last time he babysat, he almost burned the house down, literally. So he agrees to go watch the kids. And he gets help from the next door neighbor, who is great with kids, has a bunch of nieces and nephews himself, and wants to adopt his own family. And they fall in love. And again, it's the Mr. Mom storyline that we're very familiar with. It's the falling in love with the neighbor. It's the returning home for Christmas. It's the big city to the small town. It's all these vibes. But making a gay man the center of this, not only the relationship, but of this family dynamic of taking care of kids, puts a bent on it that is not typical. And there's a great monologue at the end that Jonathan Bennett delivers where he's like, you know, I never thought that I'd be good at this. I never even considered that having kids could be in my future because I was told my whole life, this isn't for you. You're not allowed to do this. You are not who this is meant for. And it's a beautiful, very emotional monologue. And Jonathan Bennett does a great job with it. But just that idea of like, not only showcasing two men falling in love, but this idea that like men can raise kids not only on their own, but gay men and queer men can raise kids and can be good at it. And it can be for them is a great message that like to ease kind of the Hallmark audience maybe into this being the first movie Hallmark has ever done with a queer couple at the center as the central couple, making it very familiar and accessible and doing these things like the small town Christmas festival and the baking montage and the Christmas pageant and all of those things is a great way to kind of make them see like, oh, this feels right. This doesn't feel crazy. It doesn't feel like grooming, quote unquote. It doesn't feel odd. It doesn't like, maybe I was wrong. Maybe I can enjoy this. Maybe this isn't as weird or as gross or sinful or whatever, insert your own adjective here, as I thought. And I think that was smart. And on top of that, it's just really well done. Like, it's one of the only Hallmark movies that I've seen that makes almost complete sense from top to bottom, other than, like, Jonathan Bennett's character, like, magically being able to cook after watching some videos and burning a house down in one scene and then cooking a full meal in the next. But also then there's the idea of, like, well, once he gets over the mental block of, I can't do this because I was told not to, maybe that's all that's blocking him. Maybe it's simply that, like, once he accepts that, like, oh, I can do this, he can literally do it, which I think, when it comes to cooking at least, is a lot of it. But other than that, everything makes sense. Like, there's no crazy, I'm leaving my job in the city for you, I'm flying cross-country to be with you, I have suddenly gotten an entire personality transplant. Like, it's none of that. It's no, like, I don't know, like Christmas Eve miracle type stuff. Everything is thought out to a point where like it's realistic, and that's great. It's also very funny. Like I said, Jonathan Bennett gets to do a lot of physical comedy, and that's fun. He gets to act very over the top. That's fun. And like, it's just a really sweet, cute movie. And It's my new favorite of the year. I highly recommend it. The Holiday Sitter, starring Jonathan Bennett and George Crissa. Okay, I'm taking a couple of weeks at the very least off. I hope everyone has a great break, a holiday, if you celebrate any holidays. If you don't, that's cool too. Enjoy, like, if you can, this weird week in between the holidays, you know, between Christmas and New Year's, where nothing is really on TV, nothing is really happening, the world is kind of in limbo. Some stores are open, some are not, people are taking off from work, we're on vacation, but if you have kids, maybe you're not on vacation. It's this like weird week where time doesn't actually exist. Enjoy that time. Become one with your couch. Become a fourth couch cushion. Eat a bunch of leftover Christmas cookies and fry up some of that ham and eat it with some eggs and have breakfast for dinner and stuff your face full of sugar. Who gives a shit? You know, New Year's resolutions start on the first for a reason, because that week, calories don't count, right? All right. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of Fake TV Critic and to this podcast all year. I don't know if I mentioned it, but I got my Spotify Wrapped, and like Spotify is one of the platforms people listen to me on the least. And yet I still gained a whole bunch of listeners on that platform this year. So thank you, especially the like 10% of my listenership on Spotify is in Germany. Hi, Germany. Thank you for listening. That's so strange. Or whatever platform you're listening on, thank you. Thank you for making me and my annoying voice and my rambling part of your week, your commute to work or your shower or your dinner cooking or your dinner prep time. That's what I meant to say. Whenever you listen to me, when you're putting on makeup, when you're taking a shit, I don't know, whenever you listen to this podcast, thank you for listening to it. Yeah, but I'm going to be off for a few weeks because, I got other shit to do, and I'm going to catch up on all this TV that I missed and maybe watch some of the stuff that HBO Max is yanking off the service before it goes. So thank you for tuning into this episode. Have a wonderful holiday season and enjoy your break if you get one. If not, bless you for those of you who have to go to work. And if you're in retail or whatever, thank you and Godspeed. And I'll be back at some point with more recaps, more reviews, more news, more analyses, and more recommendations. Have a great holiday, everyone.